Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Expert Channel. I'm Phyllis Smith, your host, and we're on every week with exciting guests that will be sharing their expertise about business, life, entertainment, and more. And today I'm delighted to introduce Mr. Anthony Clifton, who is a highly accomplished senior executive, entrepreneur, consultant, radio host, public speaker, with 35 years of success in media, cable TV, print and online newspapers, commercial banking, and much more. And his broad sense and areas of expertise include international business, leadership, entrepreneurship, executive consulting and management. And so, and again, we'll be talking about that on the show. But he's currently the founder owner of a successful established business agnostic consultancy, providing strategic, financial, and operational advisory to owners and CEOs of small market businesses and growth companies. So, Anthony, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm grateful. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, I mean, you have an amazing background, Anthony, and one of the things my audience doesn't know that you and I co-hosted the Executive View together in Philadelphia in the past.
That's correct.
Yes, and we had some great guests on the show, which were also people that you've supported in the past with your consultancy. So I think one of the big things that I thought was great about our topic today was we're talking about sustainability and growing business. And this is an area that you specialize in for consulting. Am I correct?
That's right. Exactly right.
So tell us a little bit more. I know today a lot of people are struggling. They start a business. They find that they reach a plateau, and either they've spent all their money foolishly, or they just don't know the next steps to move forward and grow the business. And in those circumstances, is this an area that where you come in and support their efforts?
Well, that's correct. The first step in all this, Phyllis, you've hit the nail on the head. A lot of businesses seem to get to a point where they either hit the wall or they feel the odds are mounting up against them. So what I do, the first thing I do when I reach somebody like this is I've got to get them to a point where they're comfortable in opening up to me about their business and expressing some of their concerns at quite an intimate level. And you don't get to that point overnight because you obviously have to build trust. But if you can get to that point, the very first thing is to get the business owner or the senior manager to open up about what is going on in their business and ask them a lot of questions. And as you drill deeper and deeper into the questions, you know, why do you say that, so on and so forth, you start to learn the good, the bad, and the ugly of the business, internally and externally. Now, there are certain things that happen externally to a business that nobody can do a lot about because it's like a government intervention or some major change in the market over which the business owner has very little or no control. So you have to be able to do what's called pivoting. You have to be able to move nimbly like an athlete and shift gears where you can. And in turn, that requires a different kind of thinking. I could go into that in more detail, but I want to pass it back to you for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult sometimes for businesses to really see the entire picture, especially small business. Sometimes they're wearing many hats. And
exactly
maybe they're
right.
Not qualified, right? They're not qualified in certain areas of finance. They have to depend on a financial expert. Or some of them don't rely on anyone, and that becomes a pitfall for them because they don't reach out to experts to support their efforts. And in that circumstances, how do you advise them to bring on partners for the business?
Well, the very first thing is, you hit the nail on the head. Most companies can't afford a board of directors. And some companies don't want to take the risk of a board of directors with what's called fiduciary responsibility, where the directors become legally liable for the advice that they give to the company upon which it acts. So another way to go is an advisory board. That is not a board that has legal responsibility, but is strictly there to advise a company as to whether it was heading in the right direction or not. A third approach is to come to someone like me, because it's simpler sometimes to come to one or two individuals rather than a whole board, and essentially treat that individual as a sounding board, because as you said very accurately a moment ago, business owners are juggling a tremendous amount of data and issues and decisions, many of which have to be made very quickly. And so in the course of doing that, things sometimes fall between the cracks, and they can be important things. And I can give you an example of that, of a guy who came up with a wonderful patent for a home medical support kit for families, so that they didn't have to leave their loved ones in a hospital, and they could care for them at home using this device to monitor certain trends in the patient's behavior. This individual is still marketing this thing, and I've asked him on several occasions, have you got either trademark or even patent protection for this idea of yours, which is from scratch? And he keeps saying no. Well, he's vulnerable because in his efforts to build out his business, he's overlooked the fact that somebody could steal the business from right under his nose, for the simple reason that he doesn't have legal protection in the form of a trademark or even a patent. So one of the jobs I have is to dig into a company and to find out how well they're protected, how strong their fortifications are, if you like, to shoulder the bad weather that will tend to come from time to time to a business, and enable them to sustain and then grow it. But if you can't grow it, if you can't sustain it. And one thing you've got to make sure is that the foundations are secure. And one way to make that the case is to make sure you're properly protected legally. And one form of that is to have patent or trademark protection, particularly for something like a brand name or a product or an invention, something along those lines. So that's a really key thing. And sometimes that gets overlooked in the shuffle.
Right. Well, that's one of the big pitfalls. I mean, the problem is what I found with a lot of small market businesses, is, and especially startups, they never get legal advice. Nothing's in writing. They do transactions without legal documentation, and unfortunately, they get burned because many times people won't pay them. It's the structure up front has to be secure, whether it's from a legal standpoint or a fiduciary standpoint. They have to make sure that all of their ducks are in order. And I've seen so many companies fail because of this, Anthony. And let me talk to you about something moving to a different area of business. We're moving into a different environment with younger people starting up businesses, and it seems that their mindsets are very, very different than those who have been doing this for the last 20, 30 years. And are you meeting with any younger people that are starting up businesses? They're very entrepreneurship-minded, and yet they almost, I call them cowboys, because they shoot off the hip. Everything they do is quick. And I don't know whether they have a true understanding of real business yet, and how they come and find their advice. I find that they're going online to look for that advice as opposed to going to a consultant. Have you seen anything of this nature?
I see it constantly, and I can think of a number of vivid examples. I think it boils down to a lot of younger people don't realize they don't know what they don't know. And for example, last week I met with a young man who has a web advertising company, and he wants to raise a six-figure amount from a bank. Well, I asked him, have you got any financial statements? His response was, no. Do you have a profit and loss statement? No. Do you have a balance sheet? No. Do you have a cash flow projection? No. Can you show a bank whether you've got a source of repayment for a loan? No. Then I said, I think you've got some homework to do, because no bank is going to let you in the door if you haven't got any of those basic things, along with some kind of credible track record of at least 3 to 5 years behind you. Now, if you have a maiden aunt who's left you a small fortune, well, that's your equity, perhaps, and you put that into the business.
We all need one of those, Anthony.
There aren't enough maiden aunts around, then the government should be working hard to create more maiden aunts, but that's not something even government can do. So most of us don't have maiden aunts to do that kind of thing. So you have to basically get into the mindset of two parties, the parties who can help you move forward, sustain and grow your business, and the customers who are going to buy your goods and services. The banks are clearly a party who could help you sustain and develop your business, but you have to get into their heads, because guess what? They're looking to make a loan, make money off it, and get the principal repaid. So you've got to be able to convince them as a small business owner that you've got the ability to repay that loan based on some kind of track record or some kind of character reference if you don't have a track record. And that's very hard, especially for someone in their, let's say, their 20s or their early 30s, and I've run across them, and they go so far, and then they either burn out or they come up against a very heavy wall. I can think of another example of someone who produced and distributed earbuds, rechargeable earbuds that would sit in the base of your smartphone. Well, guess what? Mr. Apple got wind of that, Big Apple in Cupertino, California, and they basically sucked the winds out of this guy's sail after he'd put in 2 to 3 years of time and investment, and he was forced to sort of sell the business that he had hoped to grow into a niche enterprise, because he hadn't taken into account, in hindsight, the fact that somebody else with much bigger resources could do what he was doing, probably at far less cost and much more efficiently. And so he learned the hard way. And there's something to be said for learning the hard way, because it makes you a better entrepreneur in the long run. And most entrepreneurs have had quite a few serious bumps along the road. They're not all great success stories on the first time around. In fact, some of the best success stories are people who've been burned and have had a hard time starting out in business, and they've had to shut down or go into bankruptcy on several occasions until they get it right. So that's the nature of the beast, and that's one of the key reasons why I think a seasoned business person such as myself can be helpful to a small business owner, particularly a younger one, who's trying to line their ducks up but doesn't have the familiarity with all the disciplines and all the needs of the disciplines that can support his or her efforts. And that, by the way, applies to not just any old business, but minority-owned businesses, with particular reference to people of African-American or Hispanic background, and certainly female entrepreneurs who have another thing to contend with, which is male dominance in the business world. And that's another
area.
Well,
I don't know. I want to speak to that, because I believe that, and I've been in business a long time as well, you know, you're only limited by your own limitations. And therefore, there are more opportunities today for minority businesses and women-owned businesses if they know how to get the resources. And the problem is, with lack of knowledge, with lack of understanding, without someone to guide them, they really won't uncover those opportunities. And moving into another area of business that I find very interesting with many businesses, they don't understand how to sell their product today, many of them, or their service. They really struggle with the shifting of electronic commerce as opposed to the face-to-face that many people didn't years before. However, the world has changed, and now you can sell anywhere. You don't have to be stuck in one little town or city or a region. You can now go worldwide because of that wonderful internet. And it's actually very cost-saving if you know how to do it. And you know as well as I do, Anthony, that's what I do. I actually have partners all around the world. But I've had years of experience making that happen. It just doesn't happen like yourself. You have to build relationships. And with the internet, you're able to build those relationships now. And how do you see that working into the fabric of changing how people do business today?
Well, it's an interesting topic. In fact, we read currently that some retail businesses are thriving and are actually even coming back despite the increasing preponderance of the internet. And that's because of the nature of the business in concern. If it's a sort of touch and feel business where it's really important for the prospective customer to see, touch, feel, taste, whatever, the product, well, there's no substitute for being in a bricks and mortar environment where customers can do that. But you, as you say, you can also, to some degree, promote that kind of business from afar. So, for example, there was a lady who was a former investment banker, and she ended up buying a company that made frozen cookie dough on the West Coast, and it was a mom-and-pop business, which she turned into a national business by taking the dough, the cookie dough, and freezing it, and then sending it by frozen means to different parts of the country. So she built up an $80 million business from scratch, which was formerly just a mom-and-pop business. So yes, you can take even a food product and you can build it up. And there are plenty of examples of people who have done that. So there are many different ways to go here. And I think part of the role of the small business advisor is to help the owner or the senior manager of that business explore the options and try to think realistically in relation to the resources that the company has, what it can do, how it can do it, when it can do it, and where it can do it.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's and that's the who, why, where, and when that every company should understand before they even step out the door or even attempt to change and model their business differently. And the problem is, again, without lack of knowledge, without a sheer direction or strategy, which sometimes you do need to reach out to someone to get your head right in the straight line that you need to be successful. And, you know, I look at a lot of companies, Anthony, today, and you're right. You know, I got to tell you, many of them fail because they don't have that structure. They don't have the skill set. And they don't have the motivation, and I find that with a lot of entrepreneurs and business management, that they become comfortable, and they feel that everything's going to stay the same. And yet, the world is volatile, and business is definitely volatile. And how do you advise them to get up, be motivated, continue to work? The most successful people live and breathe their business 24/7, and you can't teach someone that. Is that correct?
I'm not sure if it's correct or incorrect. The way I look at it, Phyllis, is everybody is a different individual with a different chemistry. And one of the first questions I like to ask prospective business people, business owners, is where do you see yourself on the risk curve? At the bottom, somewhere in the middle, or way up at the top? If you're way up at the top, somebody like Elon Musk, who makes the Tesla cars and is talking about sending rockets with tourists in them to the moon, well, he's right up at the top of the risk curve there, because he's been on the verge of bankruptcy more times than I've had hot dinners. Conversely, the average person is probably going to be in the middle or perhaps toward the lower end of the risk curve, partly because they don't have infinite resources, partly because they sort of realize they don't know what they don't know, and they're content to have a small business that could be run out of a home or out of a small building with low overhead and that kind of thing. So I think a very key thing is we can't all be Elon Musk. We can't all be the great all-time Steve Jobs type entrepreneur. That's a position reserved for very few of us. Most people are going to end up somewhere in the middle, in my view, perhaps toward even the lower end of the spectrum, depending on where they see themselves and how much time and effort they're willing to put into the business. And as you say, if you're going to be Elon Musk, you've got to eat, sleep, and breathe this business and put yourself at great financial risk practically all the time in comparison to people who want much more of a steady business. So you've got to be honest with yourself because you got to live as a human being too, and have some fun, and have a family, and recharge your batteries. Who are you as a person? Where are you on that risk curve? And what's your work life balance like? Do you want to work more than you play? Do you want to play more than you work? These are all really important questions. And a very simple thing you can do, if you are already in business as a small business person, is take a sheet of paper and put two columns on it. The first one is called now, and the other one is called then. Now, under the now column, you list the activities you spend your time doing during the average day or the average week or the average month. You just list them down. And then you put a rough percentage of the time you spend on each of those activities, whatever they might be. You then go over to the then column, and you put down a list of activities you'd like to be doing, particularly within the business in terms of function, and you'd like to, and also how much time you'd like to be able to spend on those activities. So, for example, my web agency guy likes to sell. Right now, he's doing a lot of admin stuff. He's doing accounting stuff. It's driving him apoplectic. He'd rather be out selling. So I said, well, what you've got to figure out, and what we're going to figure out together, is how we can get you from a point where you personally are spending less time doing accounting and accounts receivable, payables, and all that kind of stuff, and administration, and more time getting out and seeing customers, because you're the primary person bringing business into the business. So we're going to figure out how you're going to do that, whether it's with part-time help or some agency or some other form or some kind of partnership with somebody else who can help you do it. And that's the kind of approach I take. So the first thing is, where are you on the risk curve? And secondly, are you doing what you really want to be doing and are good at, as opposed to are you doing stuff you are not good at and don't want to be doing in the first place? Because if you're in that latter place, that's not a good place to be trying to grow and sustain a business.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't want to work, period. So
that's
it
true.
Doesn't matter what job it is. So
then they should just be hard. They should just be hard guns.
Yeah. Well,
right.
You know what? There's plenty of people that freelance today, and there's sites online where people can go to freelancer.com, moonlighting.com, and hire contract people to support them, and they have lots of experience because they all have resumes and such. And they work on a contract basis, so therefore you can test the waters. Use these people within your budget, because, again, many people are, I find a lot of business people have difficulty staying within their budgets, and that's why they tend to lose everything they have.
Right.
And you definitely come from a financial background. I'm sure you see that quite often.
Well, the financial piece is the hub of the entire wheel, because if the finances are not in order, then the wheel isn't going to turn. And I came to that conclusion quite early on in my career, that you really have to have a good grounding in finance and know what the parameters are to be secure and have a springboard from which to go forward. If you start off with a sort of weak springboard, well, you're not going to be of interest to any sources of capital like a bank or an equity provider, and ultimately you're probably going to fail because you're not keeping your book straight and you're not collecting properly from your customers. So you have to get that basic skeletal form of financial control in place and then build the flesh on top of it of the business. But until you do that, you know, a body without a skeleton is just a piece of pulp.
Well, I've found most successful people and businesses rely on experts to assist them. If they're smart, they're surrounded by experts. And therefore, I mean, I've started businesses and I have a wonderful CPA who has guided me on the proper structure, how to work with my money, what to do with it, and how to build the business from the financial aspect. The marketing side I had. So I believe that you have to take the strengths that you have internally and what you've learned and utilize them to the best of your ability, but then rely on others around you that can surround
Absolutely.
You. Like, to
Absolutely.
Help you grow, right? I mean, that's really the smart way to do it. Why would you try to do it yourself and fail?
Right, and that, and you don't have to employ people like that on a full-time basis with all the overhead. They can be, as you said, they can be part-time, they can be outsourced. There are whole companies that specialize in providing all kinds of functional support to people who have finite specialty skills but who need the support of other skills. And if it's appropriate, you may even find that in a partner from time to time, assuming that you're comfortable with that partner and you have some kind of partnership agreement, so that if there's a partnership disagreement along the line, that there's some kind of exit scenario that's developed up front that is manageable if it comes to that. So, yes,
right,
there are plenty of different ways to go about doing this. An entrepreneur does not and should not feel alone. There's plenty of resources out there, and people like myself can help to point entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs even toward those kinds of people, be they lawyers, accountants, engineers, or similar.
Right. And, you know, and this applies to both for-profit and non-profit businesses. Because just
Absolutely.
Because you're fundraising and such, you have to have that strategy, the structure. I even utilize bartering. There are people who will use my services and I use theirs. That is another equation of working smart. And I think a lot of people work hard but not smart sometimes. They work too much and they're not seeing the actual picture or the large picture of where they need to be. And again, having someone like yourself come in, give them a true picture of where they stand and where they want to go, or maybe perhaps review their failures, because nobody ever wants to hear the negatives. Am I correct, Anthony?
Right. Well, yes, and a simple way to do that is to do what a lot of people already know about, called a SWOT exercise, or an SF SWOT exercise. So you list your successes, your failures, your strengths, your weaknesses, the opportunities before you, and the threats to those opportunities. If you can review all those things on a couple of sheets of paper, at least the key ones, well, you're already halfway to developing a business plan, which anyway your bank is going to want to see, or your equity provider is going to want to see if you're looking for capital.
Right. And, you know, it's the world is changing so fast. There is so much opportunity out there. And again, if people aren't there looking and reading and going out, I spent every day, usually I'll spend half an hour reading on the latest news, the latest trends. You have to stay with the times. And if you don't, you won't be able to succeed in this global market now that we live in. And I really want to call it the transient market, because people are all over the place. And there's a lot of competition out there. But, Anthony, I do want to talk about your own business. You are in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia area, but you do work with people all over the world. I mean, you went to the university in France and also in the UK. You have a global background. And certainly, do you work with international entrepreneurs and business owners?
I've not been doing so lately, although it is something I'd be very interested to do, because my second language is French, and I would be happy to work with French parties who are entering the U.S. market or are already here and need some help. But I am getting a lot of solicitations, not least through LinkedIn, from the Far East, China, Japan, places like that, for help, because many of those companies are looking for, well, they're actually looking more for agents to represent them in the U.S. of A., which is not really what I want to do, but there are plenty of opportunities for people who are interested in that. If they,
right, well,
if
they want advice, because
LinkedIn.
Right, they want advice because they want to do business here, and I get that. And it's very good to bring someone in from their own country to help them. So Anthony Clifton has AAC Holdings LLC in Philadelphia, and you can reach him at 267-546-9310. That's 267-546-9310. And Anthony, it's been a true pleasure having you on the air with me today. It's almost like our last show. But again, it's great to be able to understand exactly how you can assist other companies and senior management. And I want to thank you again for joining me on the Expert Channel.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. This is a great opportunity, and I hope it was helpful to you and your listeners.
Thanks again. So you can listen to the Expert Channel, and we are on every week with experts from business, life, entertainment, whatever industry or item that rocks your world. And that is what the Expert Channel is about. Join us on LinkedIn.com or Facebook.com to listen to some of our upcoming podcasts, or go to expertstalkshow@gmail.com if you'd like to be considered as an expert guest on the show. Thank you again, and we'll be out there next week.